ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Mel Herbert here with a really crappy Elon Daily. Unfortunately, I found myself in New Orleans, which is not so bad. It is an amazing, wonderful city if you ever get a chance, particularly if you're a foodie and you like music. There is no better place, perhaps in the world. I don't know. But my microphone won't attach, and it's a bit upsetting. All right, so I'm going to keep this short and sweet because the audio quality is crap, and I also don't have my fun music with me, which is very, very upsetting. It really does sound like I'm coming out of the bottom of a barrel somewhere, but I'm not. So first off, Borla Nyland, who is like one of the biggest Tesla dudes out there in the YouTube universe, took his Model 3 to a Ionity charging station, which theoretically can give you 350 kilowatts. He did not get said 350 kilowatts. He got 120 kilowatts from 25 to 45% state of charge, and then he dropped down to 113. I guess at some peak, there was 127. We've seen this actually before, that people have plugged in their Model 3s in Europe using the CCS charger to these really high voltage chargers, but they haven't got anywhere near the theoretical 350. The highest is around the same as what he got, somewhere around 127. And remember that the Model 3 version 3 supercharger should get you 250 kilowatts, but we haven't seen a lot of that going on yet. Tom went down to the supercharger in Hawthorne about 2 weeks ago, and although they were sort of charging people's cars at that event, at the V3 supercharging event at, 250, the superchargers right now have a little bag over the top of them and they're being upgraded, so that seemed like it was a temporary solution. So we really have not seen reports of people being able to charge at the full speed, either in Europe on a CCS charger or here in the States on a V3 supercharger. So we will wait and see. Can you get busy, Tesla? We want some fast charging, please. Hello. And we've been talking about battery production and Panasonic and what's happening over there. And Business Insider has a little concerning article today that is about the sort of the chaos and the waste at the Panasonic area of the Gigafactory, saying things like it's just not clean, there's way more waste than there should be. This is all from people who have worked there. There was an oil spill once where they just couldn't find clean batteries. And so it sounds like it's a bit of a cluster. I wonder how much this is under Tesla control versus Panasonic control. It's a little hard for me to believe that Panasonic would have a clustery organization, or Tesla, in fact, because these are two companies that seem to have, at least in terms of manufacturing and cleanliness and feedback loops, their act together. So I worry when I read articles like this, is this just sort of disgruntled employees? But let's just say this, shall we? That it appears that if this is true, that there is room for improvement. If they can reduce waste and the number of spoilage, as it were, then they significantly could improve the amount of batteries coming off those lines. As we've said, Panasonic doesn't want to put in the extra $1 billion to build out more lines. And so Tesla is just going to try and squeeze as much out of these as possible. So I don't know, again, how much this is run by Tesla, how much this is run by Panasonic, who's really in charge here. Could that be part of the problem? I don't know. I don't know. I'll be the first to admit that I don't know. And this just in, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and it's very sad. Remember how, about a week or two ago, the Falcon Heavy went up there and it had its three rockets and it pushed the Arabsat way up there and then they came back and they landed? Well, the center one that landed on the drone ship, it sounds like it fell off. There were very rough seas and the core central booster seems to have gone topply over, boom, boom, crash, crash. There were 8 to 10 foot swells and the booster began to shift and ultimately was unable to remain upright. So that's a bit upsetting. It's not clear to me from the reports whether it fell into the water or just sort of got damaged, but SpaceX said that they're going to improve their holding down of said rocket onto said floating ship in 8 to 10 foot swells. That's going to be hard because it's really top heavy. I don't know if you can hear that in the background, ladies and boys and girls. That is a brass band playing in the streets down here in New Orleans. And so we're going to call this done because the audio quality is terrible. And I've got to go see what's going on down there. It sounds like a lot more fun than sitting up here, as much as I love you all. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, sorry for the quality. It's going to get better. Herbert out. Bye for now.